Today on Real Life Radio.
My question to you today is, do you have the authority and do you have the submission of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life? That's where you start today. Well, how do I fix my marriage? How do I reach out to my kids? You meet Jesus.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. In a time when our culture is increasingly hostile to the teachings of the Bible and the traditional values that they impart, Christians face the challenge of being labeled intolerant and offensive and homophobic. How can we approach controversial topics with both reason and tact? In the book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, author Frank Turek tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism, addressing common arguments about equal rights, discrimination, tolerance, and being born a certain way. Now, this powerful and insightful book firmly yet respectfully defends biblical truth about sexual identity, marriage, and gender. Don't bury your head in the sand, but learn to stand with a biblical worldview. Correct, Not Politically Correct by Dr. Frank Turek is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com or call 877-777-2346. Order your copy of Correct, Not Politically Correct today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Authority, Submission, and Love, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the importance of a profound pattern of God's design when it comes to our lives as believers. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that man's fallen nature has abused God's perfect order. The wife is under the authority of her husband, but as an equal partner, to be honored, exalted, and treated with understanding. Now, with his message called Authority, Submission, and Love, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The gods of our flesh indulge our flesh. So what they would do is that they would go and they would, as often as those systems had this, they would hire with their offering a temple prostitute. I'll just say this. You could identify a temple prostitute in Greece, in Corinth, because her head was shaved. Why? Because she had to play numerous roles in her worship system. I don't want to elaborate. Your mind's filthy enough to think of what I'm talking about. We have to bring those thoughts under Christ all the time. It is a sick Hollywood thing. It's a Vegas deal. It's a weirdness. These are the pagan. Didn't Solomon say nothing's new under the sun, huh? It is a sick worship system of the pagan gods. And Paul is going to address this issue about hair covering, not covering, what's going on here. These Christian women in Corinth had become born again. They're believers. They heard about their liberty in Jesus. They're free. So some women were tempted, man, I'm tired of dealing with my hair. And so they began to cut their hair, and it created a scandal in the church. It doesn't mean they shaved their heads necessarily, but what Paul is saying is, man, you better be careful here. Why? Because that was the culture back then, speaking about authority. These were wives of husbands. And the announcement was physically being sent to the community, hey, there's a pagan woman right there. And then she would have to turn and say, no, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm sorry, I mistook you for one of the pagan temple prostitutes. I'm sorry. And Paul said, you need to avoid that stuff. Is it not true today? No. Not necessarily with the hair. By the way, hair, no hair, long hair, short hair. God don't care about hair. Okay, that's not the point. In that culture, it was an announcement of submission. Who is she submitted to? The pagan gods of Greece? Or is she submitted to the Lord? Well, how would that be indicated? She is a wife of a man. Very significant. Notice here that it says that the man, he shouldn't have his head covered when he is in the place of worship. You know, if you're on your toes right now, you'll say, well, why do the Jews today wear a little yarmulke on the kippah on the back of their head? What's that all about? And they'll tell you, because when Moses came down the mountain, he had a covering on his head. That's sweet, but it's not biblical. We have these pictures in our minds because of movies that when a rabbi or Jesus prays in a movie, he covers his head. That's not biblical. See, what? The Bible says that the man should have his head uncovered. Why? Because it is a symbol, a type, a picture that a man who presides over a home with loving care and provision has a direct connection with God and that there's nothing in between. Moses wrote that, given by God, in the Levitical testimony after he came down from the mountaintop. A man shouldn't have his head covered. Now, again, we're talking about the culture. You say, well, what does that matter to my life? We do this. We do this today. What would a woman display to announce to the culture she's taken? A ring. I had a friend of mine tell me, she's a stewardess, and she said, and she was single. I don't know if she's married now, but I go, I notice all you girls in the plane, you wear these ginormous rings. Have you noticed that? They're going down the aisle. They're like leaning sideways because they have this giant. She goes, oh man, that's to send a message to the wolves on the plane to back off. You're sitting on an airplane with 300 people and you know, and these guys, hey, babe, hey, sweetheart, hey, honey, woo. She goes, no, you just stick that ring out there. Boom. Right? And sends a message. We all relate to that. What does it really mean? I belong to someone. I'm not available. Back off. Stay away. Spoken for. Taken. But when the culture sees a different message, I'm available. Listen, men or women, men and women can send a message. I'm available or I'm taken. There are still cultural things that we need to be very sensitive to in this day and age. It's very important. We understand that. But it's significant. But I think it's wonderful here, by the way, those of you who think that somehow women are supposed to be less than, verses 4 and 5, notice it says that women cannot pray or prophesy. It says when they do. Ministry in the church. Some years ago, regarding women ministering in the church, we had Elizabeth Elliot speak here, and she went out of her way to convince me that what she was doing was not violating scripture. I said, I understand exactly what you're doing. She was so careful, and I respect that of her. But she wanted to make it very clear that she wasn't usurping authority over any men because the Bible says that that shouldn't happen. But the context was a pastor. She's not a pastor. And she came and spoke powerfully, I might add, as what you would expect. But listen, everyone in this room, the context of this 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 11 is marriage and submission, authority and love, one another to Christ. The wife to the husband to Christ, the pattern that's to follow. And it's a great thing. I think that if that happened today in Christian homes, maybe more young people today would want to get married. They'd see a good example when it really works. Man, I hope you understand that today. Point number two today, verses 8 to 12, is authority, submission, and love as seen in creation. As seen in creation. Look at verses 8 and 9. Authority by order of God's creation. He says, for a man is not from woman. That is, Adam was made first in the creation of God, but woman from man. God says that he pulled Eve out of the side of Adam. Different. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. What does that mean? Don't think for a moment that God said, okay, Adam, you rock. Us guys, we'll stick together. Hey, Eve, get us a cup of coffee. That's not what it's meant here. You'll miss it completely. In the spirit of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, this is what's being said. Adam, you came first. You came from the dirt of the ground I've made. I formed you. I breathed the breath of life into you. Eve, on the other hand, has come out from you. She is flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, sir. And what you will do from this moment on is focus on your ministry. Didn't God say to Adam, name all the animals? But Adam was unfulfilled, wasn't he? God says, tend to the garden. Adam was unfulfilled. God says, hey, Adam, lay down. You're going to go to sleep. General anesthesia. God knocks him out, pulls out Eve from the side, establishes her, introduces them together, first wedding in the Garden of Eden. God brings them together. And then, and only then, does God say, this is very, very good, by the way, and Adam is a happy guy. And this is your ministry, Adam. You give your life for her. You love her. You take care of her. Listen, you are to show my model and picture of redemption through this woman of yours. And how sad it is that when she and then eventually Adam, the Bible says that Eve listened to the serpent, then Eve went and spoke to Adam, Adam listened to the woman, and the Bible tells us that they got into an argument. First recorded argument in the Bible. He said, she said, literally. The order of creation was messed up in the fall. But the Bible says, Genesis 2:7, for the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became. The word, listen, any evolutionist in the house right now, the word became means in an instant man began to breathe. I love that. The Bible tells us, guys, listen up. The ministry of the woman in marriage is our responsibility. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives, treat her with understanding. That'll keep you praying right there. That takes a miracle. As you live together, she, listen, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Notice that, the new creation, spiritual. He says, if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Are you a Christian man? Yes. Are you married? Yes. Then listen, the only way that your life and ministry is going to be effective is that you keep a relationship healthy with your wife. Secondly, it's this, submission and preeminence in his creation. For this reason, a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. You ought to mark that. That's pretty weird. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of a woman, nor a woman independent of the man in the Lord. He's talking to believers. See, what is that thing in verse 10? Regarding a woman having a symbol of authority over her head, in that culture, listen, we would say a ring, or her, the way she dresses perhaps, I don't know. But regarding the angels, because of the angels, listen, you guys, there's two theological camps. There's two answers to this. Personally, I like them both, and I believe them both. Some scholars will say the reason why this verse says this is because angels are always present among humans. And you know the Bible speaks about that. Do you know the Bible says that regarding angels, we need to be careful not, listen, this is interesting, not demons, demonic activity, not demons, but angels. The Bible says that angels have an ability to appear and disappear in our physical world. They can show up and leave. You say, what? Listen, remember when Abraham was over the hill country and Sodom and Gomorrah was down below and Lot was living down there? Do you remember when three people came walking up and Abraham said, hey, one of them turned out to be none other than what's called a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And the other two were angels. And Abraham thought they were human. They were just normal. Isn't it interesting that the scripture says that we can entertain angels in our life unknowingly? Do you know the person next to you right now? Are you sure you know them? Who is that guy? Wow, that's weird. That can happen.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible says that we are heirs, those who are heirs of salvation, that God's angels are ministering spirits to us. And then the other view is this, that angels are always in the presence of God. Did you know that's true too? In Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, the Bible tells us that the seraphim, that is there's orders of angels recorded in Scripture. There's cherubim, you've heard of them, and there's seraphim, they'll freak you out. Seraphim have six wings. They have one head, but they have four faces on their head. They have a face here, here, and here. And they don't turn when they move. The Bible says they don't turn. They go like this, like a chess game, like this, when they go. And whichever they go, whatever ministry is needed, they go in that direction based upon the face. By the way, the faces are you know what faces they are. And I'll probably forget right now because I'm going off of memory and I'm over 50, so It's the face of an eagle on one side, the face of an ox on one side, the face of a lion on the other side, and the face of a man on the other side. All four of those faces are the exact symbolic representation of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them portray Jesus Christ as one of those icons or one of those manifestations. For example, the Gospel of John presents Jesus Christ in all of his deity. We read a moment ago, John 1, right? The Word of God. Okay, and that would be the eagle. God is represented in Scripture as the eagle. Mark views Jesus as the servant, shortest gospel, most miracles. The servant is the ox, beast of burden. Luke's gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. One of them has a man's face on the side. And the other one, Matthew's gospel, portrays Jesus as the lion from the tribe of Judah, the lion. The ministry of Christ is represented before the throne of God 24/7 eternity. And the seraphim, with two wings, they cover their face. With two wings, they cover their bodies. And with two wings, they fly in the presence of God. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." Notice three times. "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty." And they bow down to him in the presence of God. And they mean it. They say it forever and they mean it. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, a radical verse. It's radical, 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 amazing. The Bible tells us about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Paul's talking to Timothy, and this is what he says. He says, "Beyond all question, great is the mystery of godliness. He appeared." The word in Greek means he arrived in a human body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels. The word in Greek means to gawk wide-eyed and wide-mouthed. When would an angel who's in eternity, who sees the glory of God, why at the birth of Jesus would an angel freak out with eyes big? Their eyes got big. In the delivery room in that stable in Bethlehem, angels gathered around and watched the birthing of Jesus. Why? Because their creator was coming out of a woman veiled in human skin. He allowed himself, he came as a human to be our sacrifice, to die on the cross for our sins, so he could associate with you and I and know how we feel. And Jesus came into the world, and the Bible implies that angels, something happened in the physical revelation of Jesus in this world that it caused angels to look and to gawk and to be in absolute astonishment. Why? This is what many believe, and I believe it. That in the presence, if we know for a fact that the angels cover their faces, then for the first time when he came into the world, they didn't have to cover their face. They saw their creator in human skin, and it freaked them out. No wonder why the Christmas story is angels in the atmosphere shouting and rejoicing and praising God, because today, this day, born in the city of David, is Christ the Savior. What an amazing thing. Do you know him like this? When you hear that, then Lord, I want to pray, I want your authority over my life. Jesus, make me more submissive. Why? Because I know you love me. There's not a man and woman in a marriage relationship that shouldn't be able to say, "Listen, I want to be more under your authority. I want to be submissive to you more." Why? Because I know you love me. That's the target. That's the goal of every husband and wife in Christianity. And we need to make it our renewed target, the preeminence of Jesus. And then the love, of course, verse 12, love in equality. Mark that down. Love in equality through his creation. He says, "For as a woman came from man, even so man also comes through the woman." Notice the word usage. Eve came from Adam, but from that moment on, man comes through the woman. We've all been born. Jesus would say, "Now be born again." Yeah, I love this, but all things are from God. Third and final point, it's right here, verses 13 to 16. Authority, submission, and love is seen in nature. Nature displays man's authority. So how so? He says in verse 13, "Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered?" He's talking about that culture and what they practice. They would say, that's not good. "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him?" See, what does that mean? Again, in the culture, it was not respected and not desired that a man have long hair in that culture. These guys, they really prided themselves on warrior type of life. And listen, they prided themselves on if you were educated and enlightened, you were clean in appearance. It's a cultural thing. Today, you go to Berkeley or somewhere and you see these guys who look like lions and smoking a pipe with a cardigan on, you know? And I guess that's supposed to be like, well, he must be smart. He looks crazy. He must be smart. You know, it's kind of weird, but what's amazing about this display of authority is that he says, doesn't nature even speak about this stuff? Church, this is weird to know. This is a weird trip. I found this out, and it's pretty amazing. And I was surprised that this old commentator, he's been dead a long time. I didn't think they would know this, but it's confirmed in science. You know, a woman, you know, I forget the ratio, but the ratio of bald men to bald women, you know, women go bald because of genetic it could be hereditary reasons, whatever, but it's not, I'm sorry, not genetic. They don't go bald because of genetic reasons, for other reasons. A man goes bald because of genetic reasons. A woman does not. You wanna know why? She has two more of the genes for hair than a man does. Isn't that amazing? So when you see, for example, he says, it's not a glorious thing for a man to have long hair. Why? Because a man gets older. His hair falls out. And it looks really bad when he's got 7 hairs left, 3 feet long, rolled up in a strudel on top of his head. It's unnatural. It just doesn't work. And you say, surely the word of God is true. Look at that guy's head. It doesn't work. And it's displayed in nature. It's displayed the authority. God says, look, this is the way that nature even proclaims it. But also, seriously, the cults of the pagan world, the cults of the pagan world in Greece, men would often have very, very long hair in honor of their gods. Note this also, that nature provides for women's submission. He says, verse 15, but if a woman has long hair, by the way, if you have long hair or short hair, that's not the point. That doesn't mean, well, Pastor Jack, I have short hair. What does that mean? It means nothing in our culture. It is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, verse 16, quarrelsome about this, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Submission, it's a picture, it's a type of what's going on in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you can wear a covering, you can wear a veil, you can wear a hat, you can have hair, you can have no hair. It doesn't change your heart. Which we end right here. Nature announces God's love. He says, we don't have such customs. My question to you today is, do you have the authority and do you have the submission of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life? That's where you start today. Well, how do I fix my marriage? How do I reach out to my kids? You meet Jesus. You give your heart to Christ. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would move among those in this sanctuary right here, right now. And Lord God, that you would speak. And Father, that there would be conversion in this room today, that people would be saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, bless these, your people, those that are making this decision now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Authority, Submission, and Love, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Jack, and please mark your calendar. It is this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, June 12th.
Dr. Frank Turek and I will be getting together for our very special Happening Now service. And listen, Dr. Frank Turek has debated some of the world's renowned atheists. He's amazing. Many of you have heard of him before. He has written numerous best-selling books. One of them is Correct, Not Politically Correct. And one of my favorites, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. This is Dr. Frank Turek. You're going to want to hear him as I sit down and we cover some topics that you are going to want to hear, especially at a time like this.
That's Pastor Jack Hibbs and Dr. Frank Turek live for a very special Happening Now event at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Wednesday, June 12th. Join us in person or join the live stream at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.